17, verse 22. The NIV says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up in the bones." I think King Solomon said it best in the King James Version when he said, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." Our emotions have a tendency to make us sweat, to weep, to tremble. Our emotion causes us to turn white with fear, red with embarrassment, purple with anger, and green with nausea. Our emotions really do affect us physically. As we think about it, one of the most famous examples of this is when Norman Cousins was diagnosed with an incurable disease. He was bedridden, and the doctors gave him no hope for recovery at all, so he decided on his own treatment. His family got a movie projector and rented all the Charlie Chaplin and Abbott and Costello movies they could find, movies where you just sat back and laughed and didn't have to think. He ran one movie after another, and the more that he watched, the more that he laughed. The more he laughed, the better he felt. First thing you know, the doctors could find no evidence of the incurable disease. In 1990, Paul Harvey, in his article, The Rest of the Story article, stated that 10 years later, Norman Cousins had been working on the staff of UCLA School of Medicine, pioneer a new medicine that would help in this area. The article stated, "Carefully controlled experiments conducted by Cousins and his associates demonstrated that you just by controlling your mindset can alter your temperature, your blood pressure, and your blood chemistry in a matter of minutes." He went on to say, "There is now evidence that cancer patients liberated from depression can actually activate the anti-cancer capacity of the immune system. The human body," contends Cousin, "is far more robust than people have been led to believe. A strong will to live, along with the other positive emotions such as faith, love, purpose, determination, humor, boost the disease-fighting immune cells." So, once again, the medical field has proven that the proverb that we just read out of the Bible is once again true. It is good for the heart. And if you're joyful in your heart, then you have good medicine. Now, I know that along with my age, me having to take medicine and my parents taking medicines and others that I've talked to that are taking medicines, sometimes our medicine cabinets are lined with pills. You take this one, and with side effects, you have to take this one, and with the side effects, you take this one. But Cousin has proven that if you would take and do away with those types of things. I'm not saying go home and take all your medicine, throw it out this afternoon. Don't get me wrong with that. But what I'm saying is that when we learn that we're not defeated with depression, and when we have the joy, then we will see things will happen. Think about it. Who are the people that you're attracted to? The gloomy guys? The guys that are always talking about how bad everything is and how worse everything is and, oh, the end of the world is coming and everything is doomsday. Is that the people you want? When you see them, what do? Try to run the other way, don't you? You want to find people that attract to you, that have joy, that smile, that are always talking in a positive sense. That's who we're looking for. That's who we need to hang out. Someone says, "Well, preacher, I hear you, but circumstances in my life aren't that good." Well, they may not be in any of our lives. Things have been tough. Just when we should worship God, it seems like something hits, something comes. We have bills that came in unexpectedly. We have this happens or that happens. We have a loss in our family members, or something happens, and it's hard to be joyful all the time. Well, let me give you three reasons this morning that I believe that will help us to see that joy is good medicine. The first one is this: we who are Christians have experienced a great deliverance. We have been delivered. We've talked about the Israelites and how they were taken out of Egypt after 400 years of captivity. They were taken out and God delivered them from the Egyptians and took them to the promised land. God delivered them over a period of time into the promised land also, didn't he? And he took them in there, and he gave them victory after victory, and he delivered to them. When they were in the deserts, he delivered them the food that they needed, the water that they drank. And so we see that we have a great deliverance. Today in the New Testament, we see that the Bible teaches us that while we're yet sinners, God still loves us. God created us, as we sung earlier. He created us to be in his like image. We are part of God. We look like God. We are part of God. We think like God. We act like God. And we have been told that if we will confess with our lips and live the lives of a Christian lives, our sins are forgiven, and he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know these may sound like familiar words, but sometimes when we hear them, they just don't have an effect on us, do they? But they need to have an effect on us because we have been delivered, folks. God has delivered us from sin. God has delivered us from Satan. God has delivered us from hell. And that is something for us to shout about today. That is something to get excited about. That is the joy that God has given us. He has delivered us. And if you can't find joy in that, then what can you find? We have been delivered. God has saved us. He has given us the joy down in our hearts through Jesus Christ. The story is told about a naval officer who was made captain of a battleship and was commander in the fleet. With pride, he stood on the deck, barked out orders. Late into the night, he was still barking out orders. And all of a sudden, he looked out, and on the horizon, he saw a small light. He had to signal to him and tell him to change course 10 degrees to the south. A few seconds later, he got a signal back. It says, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Well, this made the captain angry since he was in charge of the ship. And as he became confident in himself, he says, I'm the ranking officer and probably more ranking over than that singleman. So he once again had him to tell him, change your course 10 degrees to the south. And it came back, this is Seaman Third Class Smith, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain became very angry, even more so. And then again, as he clenched his fist, he barked out to order, tell the light to change his course 10 degrees to the south because this is a battleship. The reply came back to him, alter your course 10 degrees to the north because this is a lighthouse. Folks, lighthouses don't move. That battleship would not have moved that lighthouse. And God's word is a lighthouse and it cannot be moved. We need to alter our lives, not the lives of the Scriptures, and try to make the Scriptures fit our lives, but we should fit our lives to fulfill the Scriptures. We do not change. God's Word is always the same today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It never changes. And God's Word says that when Jesus is our Lord and Savior, that we have been delivered from bondage and sin and have a gift of everlasting life. The second reason is this. We have a great task to perform. Most people who deal with other people realize the best medicine to be given is one of depression, is to give them something to do. My dad and I are a whole lot alike. We like to do things, but when we do it, we have a tendency to fall asleep. I noticed when I was down visiting with my dad, when he was outside fiddling around, toying around with different things, playing with his little tractor that he had rebuilt and everything. He was fine. Everything was going great. We walked into the house. We sat down. And the first words out of his mouth was, oh, my shoulder is killing me. It's funny. It never bothered him the whole time we were outside working. But as soon as he sat down, it began to bother him. When we get up and do something else, it didn't bother him. But when we sat down and had nothing to do, it bothered him. So we see the effects that we need to give the person something to do when they're depressed. The more that you keep preoccupied, the less depressed you have and the time that you have to do that. Sometime in the Christian Standard magazine, there was an article about missionaries who had gone to various parts, and it told how they left their homes and their families and loved ones behind. It told of some of their hardships and sacrifices. It told about many of the things that had happened to them over the years. As I read this article, I began to feel sorry for them, of what they had to give up and their families that they couldn't see over periods of time. but without exception, at the end of the article, there was always a little testimony by the members of each missionary family saying that in giving of themselves, they had found true joy. They had not given up anything, folks. Sometimes we don't want to leave our loved ones. But Jesus says sometimes you may need to. But are we willing to do it? He has a task for us to do. We have one task, and that is to carry the gospel around the world. And over 2,000 years ago, he gave us that. And that task has not been completed. People are still lost. Friends are still lost. Neighbors are still lost. Relatives are still lost. People who don't know Jesus Christ are still lost. And God says, here's our task. This is our task. We are to go and let people know. In the legend about the ascension of Jesus back to heaven, when he arrived there, Gabriel looked at him and he said, Lord, how did it go? Jesus answered, it went well. I accomplished what I went to accomplish. I went to the cross and died for their sins. Gabriel asked, but do the people appreciate what you did? Do they even know? Jesus answered, well, some of them know, Peter, James, and John, and a few others. Then Gabriel asked, but how about the rest of the world? Jesus said, they will know too. Here's my plan. I plan for Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and the rest of them to tell others. When those people hear about it, then they will tell others. And when they hear, in turn, hear, they will tell others, and they will keep doing that until the whole world knows. Then Gabriel, knowing the weakness of humankind, asked, but what if they failed? What if Peter and James and John and Andrew and the rest don't tell anybody? Or what if those people don't tell somebody else? What if they forget the message when they became indifferent and complacent? What other plan do you have, Jesus? And Jesus looked at Gabriel and said, I have no other plan. Folks, we are God's plan. Our plan is simply this. He is to tell somebody. And if I go tell somebody and the two of us find two more people and tell them, and then the four of us find more and tell them, and then eight of us find more and tell them, and then 16 find more and tell them, finally the whole world will know. There is no other plan. You want a job to do? It's not just a job in this church, but it's to tell. We have one. And when we're doing it, our hearts are filled with joy that the world will never, ever understand. Telling people about Jesus Christ. Isn't that our goal this morning? Isn't that our goal to see just like God, just like Jesus, the whole world to know him and that we are to tell him? There's a third element that brings joy to our hearts, and that is trust. We know that in every marriage, it is difficult for a marriage to survive without trust. If we can't trust one another, it's not going to happen. True friendship requires trust, and we must trust to prevail in peace and harmony. And when we see that, then we'll see a good relationship. In the same way, as Christians, we are to trust God. We can have a meaningful experience when we trust him. But when we're not trusting him, we don't have that kind of experience. We don't have that kind of joy that we need. Jesus had words that he used. And the old word that he used over and over was in the Greek language, tharse. It means to cheer up. And it's also translated to be courageous, to take heart. Don't be afraid. Fear not. In Matthew chapter 9, beginning verse 2 and 6, we see that Jesus is working with a paralegiac man. And in these words, he says, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, the man took up his mat and started glorifying God for what he had done. He was able to walk, and he was filled with joy. Again, in Matthew 14, we see Jesus walking on the sea of Galilee, and the disciples in a boat that was shaking and the storms was going, and they were afraid, and they saw Jesus. They thought he was even a ghost. And once again, Jesus looked at him and said, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. In all storms of life, we can hear the voice saying from Jesus, take heart, don't be afraid. Folks, we don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Jesus said, take heart, it is I. We just need to come and accept him. Jesus looked at his disciples in John 16:33, and he says, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart. Do not be troubled. He is with us. You and I only are limited by our circumstances. We can only do so many things, but with the power and strength that Jesus has given us, we can do all things. We're not certain of what the future holds. Not tomorrow, next day, or years to come. We don't know what will happen to our families, our lives, and things of that nature. Maybe some bad things may come to pass, maybe some good things. But we can always hear the voice of Jesus each and every day. Cheer up, because a joyful heart is the very best medicine that can be taken. You see, we have experienced a great deliverance today. We have a great task to perform. We need to trust in God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the scripture. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit, a dead or dried up spirit, dries up the bones. Help us not to be dried up this morning, Father, but help us to have a cheerful heart. Help us to have joy in our lives, no matter what, because you have never left us, Father. In the good times, you were there. In the bad times, you were there with us, Father. And we know that we can have joy in both good and bad, for you are always with us. You have always promised to take care of us, to love us, and to care for us, to pick us up when we fall, and to gently brush our shoulders and give us a nudge and say, you're okay. Keep going. Help us this morning, Father, to be able to be part of that equation where we tell someone, and two more will tell two more, and four will tell four more, that our whole world may know about Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.